Ah, no worries. I'll say like Loomis, like before.
What?
I need to talk to you. All right, I'll
Tuskegee
kind of
syphilis. Ah.
If I could tell you the things I just learned about syphilis, you would all agree with me that syphilis is totally the name of some, like, you know, bookish soccer mom. Like, you know, like, it totally sounds like it to me. Like, hey, syphilis. Syphilis is like, hey, that's not very American. Watch your mouth around my children. We're getting in our SUV now to drive to the soccer game. Hi, guys. I'm Vangelis. And this is WTF at TFW. And I'm joined by Aaron.
How's it going, everybody?
Waiting for them to answer.
Nobody cares.
Thanks, everybody. I hope you're doing well, too.
We love you.
Big shout-out to Adam Farrell. Also here with us today is Lupus Convoy.
Hey, everybody.
Syphilis.
Syphilis.
Lupus is
I don't have it.
Lupus is a little preoccupied with syphilis this episode. Not in the way you think. It involves typing and
it's
writing.
It's for school.
Yeah, it's for school. It's educational syphilis. And also here is Omegas Prime.
Oh, now we know what the discussion topic's going to be for the week.
Well, I don't know. It seems to be a running theme. I'm like, all right, even team, STD. Odd team, Rosanna Danit Jigabachi. Even team, new STD. And this wasn't even... This one, I didn't even come in with plans about it. This was a Lupus Convoy original.
So I bring the disease next week.
Yes. Yes. You better bring a good one.
Oh, I'll bring it.
It has to have a snappy name, because like, I'm only putting up with a name like syphilis once. It's such a gross name. I'm spitting when I say it. It's got S's and F's, and it's like syphilis. It's like a name you scream in someone's face when you want to give them H1N1 or something like that. Anyway, we're here to talk to you about Transformers, aside from all that, and we're going to open up with the topic we hinted at last time, or that I hinted at last time. The Cyber Missions episodes have begun. Hasbro has launched a new Transformers webisode series. I'm going to withhold my thoughts until the end so I don't color the discussion at all, but I'd like to hear from Lupus first.
Okay, rewatching it, I do have to say that Optimus's eyes scare me. Like, they are so bright, bright green in comparison to the rest of his hologram that it just kind of, like, bores into your soul. But other than that, it's a nice attempt, but I think they could have done a little bit better.
How would you say it compares to the Bunny Rabbit Exploding Gas Station?
Okay, in the epic fail scale, there's no way you can top that.
Okay, but, so you'd say that it is still like a marked improvement over...
It's a very big marked improvement, but...
From terrible to mediocre? Or
terrible to... okay, they've progressed past the first year of graphic arts. They're going on to the second year of their graphic arts degree. They're getting there, slowly but surely.
Alrighty. Aaron, how do you feel about the first episode of the Cyber Missions?
Not bad. For free internet, 3-minute clippy thing. Coming up towards... That was like full-on CG models is what it looked like. Not nearly the bad flash that the exploding gas station Bunny Rabbit one was. Not quite Beast Wars level, but for free internets. Graphically, it was good. Prime's eyes, I take as it was using some sort of alternate wavelength of light than your standard camera, and his eyes reflected it, kind of like the evil cat eyes that you'll see at night if you take photos or whatever. And the voices actually weren't bad until a certain point.
Aaron knows
Prime
how I feel about the certain point.
Decent sound alike. Bumblebee sounded good. I think he could have used a little bit more skip cutting for radios, because some of those things you wouldn't quite hear on a radio, maybe on a movie. Ironhide was okay. Soundwave was the winner. It was a full-on Dr. Claw voice. which unfortunately is the Revenge of the Fallen Soundwave voice. They didn't put the like the double, triple flanging or whatever behind it.
Vocoder.
The vocoder. And then there was Bludgeon.
Yeah. Can I take Bludgeon when my turn comes?
I'll let you take Bludgeon. I know how you feel about it. So.
Alrighty, and Omegas, I'd like to hear your thoughts too. And as I said, you know, if you really want to let into Bludgeon, I can assure you, just wait for my turn. But other than that, what are your feelings on the Cyber Mission?
Yeah, I'll hold off on Bludgeon. From a voice acting standpoint, and just that there's some actual effort into some semblance of a storyline, that's definitely an improvement from their last attempt. Mm-hmm. At the same time, their last attempt, I could tell, was a cartoon. I spent the first minute of this thing going, did they just, like, record the toys in front of a green screen? Is this stop motion? Is the animation, yeah, it's so stiffish and lacking in animation. I honestly couldn't tell for the first few minutes, and I think the problem is I keep remembering the Optimus Megatron battle that they rendered in CGI, which that wasn't even for promoting current toys. That was just for the website, mm-hmm. and it was remarkably better. And I keep waiting for that. You know, what happened to that animator? Why'd you fire him?
And if I may add, I believe someone in the thread pointed out that in our last listener question, the last Toltec may have been referring to that in one of his questions, and I wanted to have that on record here, because that totally did not occur to me when we were recording.
I thought I caught that, yes. And so, the other problem, I think I had the same problem with the Bumblebee, too. It was just like, okay, I've never heard the radio say sound, or I've never heard them say Ironhide on the air, and I've never heard them all spoken in the exact same voice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That seemed a little convenient, unless he was like channeling the first movie's dialogue, and that's where he was ripping it from. That's the only explanation.
Bumblebee's voice, I do want to point out, it was a very strange thing, because when it started off, it sounded to me like it was a character voice that was speaking through a really busted vocal unit, and I thought that's cool. And then when he got all skippy and stuff, and like, you know, do you hear me now, and stuff like that, I was like, wait, we started off with him being just a character talking through a busted equipment, now he sounds like a dude using radio clips, but he's still a character talking. Ah! Like, I still thought it was neat, but yeah, it was a little bit disjointed in its intentions, I felt.
Yeah, I'm not sure they knew what they were doing with it.
Yeah, that aside, though, I gotta say, the voices, alright? Very positively mediocre. Like, positive the good side of mediocre. Cullen impression. It sounded like a dude trying to sound like Optimus Prime, and I give it total props for that. Dude who did a very good impression of movie Ironhide, I felt. This very unique Bumblebee voice, which I actually quite enjoyed, regardless of how it seemed to not know what it was trying to do in the second component of this episode. Soundwave was doing a Dr. Claw voice, and hey, guess what? That's movie Soundwave. Where this all kind of came crashing down was Bludgeon, but before I get to that, also, you know, I like that the story was very clearly something that could happen in the movie timeline. It's two movie Autobots trying to fix up their archives, and two movie Decepticons come to mess them up. Made sense. The animation was very keyframed. I think that it was probably really ground out in a short amount of time. You could really tell also when guys transformed, especially Bludgeon, that it was a little bit like pushed out the gate. But overall, like, you know, there were some really cool stills in there that you could pull out. It was kind of neat. The thing is, Bludgeon's voice, my God, Bludgeon's voice was like it's like a dude screaming through a rippled tube. Like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, man, all these voices sound great. Bludgeon stands up, I'm like, oh my God, I wonder how cool Bludgeon's going to sound. He's like, and I'm like, oh my God, Bludgeon. All right.
It didn't come across as the uber badass ninja dude.
No, and it was loud. It was friggin' loud.
That's because he's been rebuilt, if you read his bio.
So that makes him talk louder?
I know, that's what I'm thinking. I'm
that's all I could. Yeah, like, all I could think of with Bludgeon's voice was too loud. Like, I couldn't even, like, you know, it was a little stilted, it was a little bit too deep for what I would assume Bludgeon would sound like, but, you know, all those little criticisms aside, the one undeniable problem with it was too friggin' loud. It sounded like it was clipping, almost. So that was my big problem with it. I mean, like, I'm happy to say that my only huge, massive problem with that thing was Bludgeon's voice. The rest of it, to me, was all quite forgivable. But, yeah, Bludgeon's voice. Like, someone said on Twitter about, you know, oh, man, Bludgeon's voice. I was like, oh, can't be that bad. Then I hear this dude who's just like, an all-cap speaking spell. I'm like, whoa, okay.
I have to admit, I'm being kind of super critical about it. Mm-hmm. But that's also because I've been spoiled with a lot of really good free media online, like Stranger Things podcast and, you know, things like that. So I find it really like a kick in the teeth from something that we really do care about, like Transformers is on, and it's got some sort of financial backing behind it from Hasbro, but it just flops like this.
Yeah, it's a very strange thing to try to apply a set of standards to, because, like, at the end of the day, one can always say, well, it's free, and that's very true.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to keep that in mind. Like, that's why, really, the only thing I am going to harp on is just how, like, how do you put it, vulgar Bludgeon's voice was in comparison to everything else going on. But, I can see where you're coming from, though, because there are a lot of things put on the web for free consumption by the people who make them, that are of a somewhat higher caliber, and perhaps even sometimes of a lower budget. But the positive side of this
is the fan factor, though, because a fan's gonna try again to make something just great, and not to say Hasbro, but you know they're just putting a product out there, and if it's not perfect, well, you know, we had 30 man hours budgeted to this, we're at 29 and a half. It's done.
I will say, though, like, you know, all this aside, I think that something we can all agree on is, hey, at least it's better than exploding gas station bunny rabbit. And if this is the pace they're...
We need a distraction. Like,
Humans probably aren't there. if we're going to, like, you know, look at something positive that we can all agree on as being positive, it would be that, you know, this pace of improvement is nice. So if this is, like, what we can...
Hopefully they keep it up.
Yeah, if this is what we can expect, you know, their future endeavors to continue, you know, pacing at in terms of getting better and better, then, hey, maybe some of these things will actually be, like, legitimately cool to download on your iPod and watch again. I wouldn't download this one on my iPod and watch again because Bludgeon's voice would blow my headphones open. But that aside, it was neat. Better than I expected.
I think the only problem with Bludgeon's voice was the fact that there was not a hint of samurai to it. I was expecting, like...
Yeah.
Yes.
A little bit of Takai?
Takai, or I'd say Mako if he was still alive, dude, but they got, definitely...
They got George Takai for Transformers Cyber Missions. That would be friggin' incredible, but...
This is your editor with a preemptive correction. It's George Takei. Stop being so Shatner. Back to the podcast.
I don't think that would work, just because, in my mind, the first thing that would pop out of Bludgeon's mouth would be, hello!
No, you have to do him as Heroes' dad player. On Heroes. That very solid...
Yeah, the
Alpha
Nakamura grumble kind of thing. Well, yeah, that's Cyber Missions. We'll try to cover them as they come out. I'd like to keep talking about them because, you know, I believe that there's probably going to be more than one this time, given that this probably had this probably had a better reception than the last one. So,
and they called it Cyber Missions.
Yeah, there's a plural. So, fingers crossed that they continue to improve. And much respect to the dudes who put that together for outshining the Flash cartoon.
Which is not difficult.
Well, no, but... Moving it to something else that's not going to be very difficult this week, let's do some new pick picks, because there's like 5 billion new pictures that have come up over the last 7 days or so. Let's march on in there. I want to hear from Aaron Smith.
Oh, what to pick? Since I'm first, I'll go for the obvious one. The War for Cybertron, Optimus Prime, Megatron, and also kind of Bumblebee pictures.
Yes, from Hugo and the Club Magazine.
Yeah, so, wow. It looks like Prime's not a deluxe. He looks beefier.
He's got hollow thighs. That has me still thinking possible deluxe.
Yeah, but...
I'm calling Voyager.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's Voyager price oh,
that,
point.
There is something that might be coloring our thoughts on that, that that is another topic that's coming up next. I very much admit.
We're out of order here.
Not even thinking about the other topic that's coming up. But looking at him, he looks like Big Deluxe Small Voyager. And with shiny paint, at least in the test shots, you know, always product may vary. He's looking good. Megs, unfortunately, he's a flying space thing.
And he got mistransformed pretty viciously.
Yeah, not necessarily. It looks like his arms do form into tank treads that weren't folded out correctly. I think someone was trying to make him look like his animated counterpart, but you can see treads underneath it that definitely fold to the side.
Yeah.
So maybe. Yeah, I'm thinking tank here.
Okay. Well, fine. And then, I don't care about you. And then, I thought
just
I had a
trying to help.
Hey, somebody has to smack you down. He can't be happy. and then Bumblebee. I thought I had a Bumblebee tab. I guess I don't have a Bumblebee tab.
Oh, I think we all saw a lot of Bumblebee.
Yeah.
He got spammed quite a bit, I think.
Yeah. But I'm glad that there is a direction, that it wasn't just a kind of one-off thing, which is really all that we'd seen before. If Prime was like, okay, it'll be one thing, but they're talking, you know, there's three there, and then an upcoming topic, we'll talk more on that. But yay. They look good. It looks like a neat, different conceptual direction to take things, and I always dig on that, the different takes on things, because you get different people's ideas and different styles, and you can go, wow, I really like that, but I don't like this. So it keeps different people's interest up.
Well, I'm jazzed for them because
stumble with it.
Because I think that I'm, you know, if I ever get these in hand, I can make them look about 10 times better than these photos do. the big ones, like, I saw a lot of people kind of complaining about stuff, but I think there were actually more people who were taking the vantage point that I was taking, which was, hey, like, almost speaking to a non-existent vocal minority who actually weren't all that vocal, myself and a couple other people went like, hey, guys, these look pretty neat. Bear in mind that, like, they look like they've also been posed pretty horribly. Prime looks depressed. Like, he's dragging his gun along, like, I don't want to do this. And
that is kind of a standard stock photo issue, isn't it?
Yeah, and like Megatron, like, one of his arms is actually hanging open and stuff. So myself and some other people were kind of like, you know, these look like they got potential, and that's exciting because they don't look like... They look like there's something where they look fine already, and they probably are better. Not kind of like, oh man, this looks kind of sucky, I hope it turns out better, like Human Alliance Barricade did for some folks. But, I'm hardcore digging these. I like that Megatron... is kind of this is the new Megatron design paradigm for his Cybertronian vehicle modes, a giant gun that is carried by something.
So yeah.
Like he turns into a giant gun and the propulsion system around said giant gun. That kind of works for me, because it works for Megatron.
Yeah. That is very Megzy, and I do like that idea better than the G1 idea of I'm going to turn into my own giant weapon that somebody else needs to hold, please.
And I do like this a little bit more than turning him into an outright jet or anything like that. Like, for some reason, just like, we've had jet Megatrons and they're okay, but Tank always just seems to feel more of like it evokes more of his personality to me.
Yeah. Kind of ground pound, just knock whatever out of the way.
Yeah, my big hope, by the way, also is only because I forgot Yugo.com existed until these photos came up. When I went there, I was like, man, I remember I don't like Yugo. So I was like, I really hope that Yugo are the ones who took these pictures so we can be all like, hey, check it out. Yugo don't know how to close a forearm. Ha ha ha. Probably not.
I'm betting it's Hasbro.
Yeah, probably hired photo help. But Lupus Omegas, do you have any quick thoughts you want to chime in on with these WFC guys or on Bumblebee, who I think looks again like I could probably make him look less like he has really thin legs? It's all about these poses they're in, looks like.
I'm just excited because when I saw that trailer, I was like, I want a Bumblebee toy now. I want it now. Now, yesterday, give it to me. And now it's good to know that when we think something like Bumblebee will come out, bam, Hasbro's ready for us.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful little Bumblebee.
Yeah.
I will give it that. It's appropriately cute in vehicle mode, which I wasn't sure you could make a Cybertronian Bumblebee look appropriately cute. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it works.
Omegas, of course, saw the vehicle mode in his latest issue of the Transformers Collectors Club.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's in front of me right now, as a matter of fact.
But what do you think about...
Wave a piece of paper so we know.
There you see, it's proof. What do you think about Prime and Megs?
Am I allowed to speak about Megatron?
Yeah, he's right there. He was off Yugo.com. They took two photos of his vehicle mode from multiple angles for whatever reason. So
is that two photos or just like alternate angles of the same, like they did?
No, there's a red stripe on one and there's no red stripe on the other, on the side.
Okay, here you can see that we screwed up transforming him from two angles. Thank you very much.
Woo!
I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. Megatron's design is throwing me off, if only because it's obvious they're going for the animated Megatron design, but at the same time, he's got tank treads and what looks like folded-up wings, so it's almost every Megatron we've ever received in one vehicle.
Yeah!
They need to have Megatron rules across the chest, though.
I am putting the call out to the Radicons right now.
Some G2 action.
We need G2. Yeah,
big sound chip that says Megatron attack.
We need G2 War for Cybertron Megatron. The game, the movie, the toy.
That would be an awesome skin for the game. Just randomly.
Megatron rules! Give him Ashton Kutcher's voice. Be wicked. I guess let's ask for some more pick picks. I will ask Lupus for a picture pick.
Okay, so I love my garage kit toys,
mm-hmm.
and we've already seen one limb, and when we first saw it, I was like, you know, this is Fans Project. I have a feeling that what we're not seeing and what people are totally ignoring while they're focusing on the space shuttle, I bet you anything that they're going to have a nice little Jeep, and bam, there it is. Crossfire, mm-hmm. and it's Swindle, which I have yet to go on Twitter today or the past couple days, so I can only imagine what Derek J. Wyatt is doing right now when he saw this. But it's another Scout class figure, and it's amazingly well engineered.
Mm-hmm.
It even looks like him.
Yeah, I think the only thing it's missing would be giant goggle eyes, and I'm guessing that by avoiding that, they can avoid... I mean, this already is pretty hardcore crossing into the realm of IP infringement, but... By not having the big goggle eyes, that's a little bit of ammo in defense, should they get cornered.
On the other hand, we are seeing Games Workshop gray model.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking they could do a really, really bright contrast of bright purple eyes
mm-hmm.
to make them pop mm-hmm. out a bit more.
Exactly.
So yeah. You don't get stuck with, if you're going to recolor this as a new character... with giant googly eyes.
He's got nice boots,
noticeable
too.
Oh, yeah.
Big umphy boots. Yeah, I'm jazzed for it. All I'm going to say is I kind of wish I had the Revenge of the Fallen Bruticus Maximus, and I'm very pleased to finally see Crossfire's robot mode.
Yes. It just seems to fit so perfectly as an update of the original mold, while still allowing them to. Original vehicle mold, while still allowing them to have a full amount of mass to create a new figure that's actually really solid
mm-hmm.
and articulate.
Definitely, I think if anything, the only weakness you might be able to bring up with this is they had to do the joints as ball joints, which means could become loose in time, but, that said, these dudes probably are scout-sized, and there are a lot of scouts with ball joints out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nothing that a little bit of clear nail polish can't fix.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're animated.
Yeah.
Swindle.
Mm-hmm. That was super glue, actually. I should clarify.
No. Oh.
Okay.
So you broke the rule, then.
Super glue is the alternative to clear nail polish. Ask any Radicon.
Animated.
They will back me on that.
Except for apparently on clear plastic.
That is true. Apparently the contents of super glue are acidic to clear plastic. but you know, a little bit of household chemistry on the computer desk is always fun. Yeah, I'm hardcore jazzed for this. I'm hoping that it's a while before it comes out, so I have enough time to go and track down a Target Bruticus.
Now, a question I have is, we've got it listed as Vance Project Reveals Crossfire Set B.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to be separated into two sets, or is this just going to be figure B of the set?
I'm guessing that, well, whatever they called Blastoff was labeled as Set A, I believe. So I'm assuming for now that Blastoff is A, Swindle is B, sorry, Crossfire is B, and the Onslaught additional bits would be C if these are going to be sold in separate pieces.
Yeah, and that worked because then if you just want to do one part, mm-hmm. you know, because each thing is relatively self-contained, if the hands are compatible both ways and the feet are compatible both ways and it just have to be helicopter, helicopter, tank, tank, and you
exactly.
can have the Onslaught add-on. If you don't want to pay, because two new scratch-built basics plus add-on stuff, you're probably looking at 150.
Yeah, I'm looking at this photo of Bruticus right now. The hands and feet are all identical plug-ons. So, mm-hmm. if it, like you said, if they just sell the combiner parts, those would be probably one set, and then it's like, okay, if you want to make them look even better, here is a leg and here is an arm.
Right,
go nuts if you so choose. Which but, I can dig. I can dig that.
Yeah, hey, but we, I just see that being pricey.
Did we see in the prior images Bruticus's cannons actually being articulated?
There's a lot of new stuff in these images.
Yeah,
those are articulated. Yeah. His fingers appear to be posable.
I am digging the combat knife that's just randomly attached to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not enough he has the giant cannons and then he's a massive robot. He's got to have a little knife, too.
Yeah, just to shank you if you start something. And
well,
look at his
it
rifle.
Was just so badass on Bludgeon. But.
Yeah. check out that rifle. Look at the barrel on that thing. That is nuts. I like how he's so military that you can legitimately now imagine Bruticus, of all combiners, like you know, prone on a hill looking down the barrel of his gigantic gun. Sniping dudes.
Because no one will see that sniper.
That's right.
Well, if he's propped up behind Everest.
Yeah, no, it's like, what's that dark shape on the grassy knoll? There might be snipers up there. The dark shape is the sniper! You know.
Dark shape? The entire knoll is the sniper.
Good old fans project. I'm very jazzed. Omega.
That picture with the rifle, it looks like he has something tucked behind, too. Like another gun.
Dude's probably...
Isn't that the knife?
I don't think so, because it looks like it goes up and over the shoulder.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah,
he has a handgun, in there.
I'm looking at the close-up shots now, where you can see one cannon up and one cannon forward. It looks like there's a pair of rifles on his back beside them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see the handle. Look, down by his,
oh, God.
By his waist, you can see the handle.
Yeah.
It has a trigger.
Yeah, they're double-barreled. My God!
I love this so much.
Jeez, if he was prone on a hill, that's seven guns he'd have aimed at you.
That is if you don't even count the fingers.
Yeah, maybe the fingers are guns, too.
Wait. So, would it be safe to assume that this is, like, alternate Bruticus?
This is the heart of, this is the ethereal embodiment of all that is Bruticus. Military and lots of guns. That's awesome.
And a little shank knife.
A little shank knife.
Just in case you somehow manage to get up close.
Right.
Yeah, we gotta move on, though. We gotta move on. We can't drool all over this, or we're gonna get, like, saliva in the listeners' ears, and I know that only a few of them would be into that.
Myself included.
Omegas, pick me a picture.
Someone has to bring it up. Provocative Transformers costume.
I thought I was going to be the one.
No, I had to bring this up. Someone turned Bumblebee into Wonder Woman. What the hell is wrong with you?
And someone turned Optimus Prime into, like, I don't even know what it is.
Did they steal Silas's designs?
Okay, here's the thing.
That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I saw this front page item, and I was like, I'm going to be clever and go into the thread and say, paging Shibamura Prime! Go into the thread. He's been mentioned like 50 times. I'm like, I'm not even going to say anything, because this was played out before I got home. That's not fair. I don't like this thread anymore.
Well, somebody with from Costume Craze must follow the 2005 boards.
How can we troll these suckers? All right.
With all respect to Shibamura, my personal opinion, Bumblebee should never turn someone on as a personal rule of life. And this is directed to one particular person. You know who you are.
What I don't get is both these costumes have friggin' leg warmers. That actually wrecks the whole, like... Like, there's no attachment in these quote-unquote costumes. It's like it's a dress, leg warmers, and a tiara.
And separate sleeves, too, like the...
Oh, geez, there's wristbands. I didn't even notice that, yeah.
I will say, though, our Tony pulled it off better at 2007 BotCon.
Easily.
Trying to figure out why the Optimus costume has these little tiny things that go on the shoulders for no reason whatsoever.
Oh, jeez, I didn't even see that.
You weren't looking at these very closely, were you?
Well, I wasn't looking at the shoulders very closely. Pause for it to sink in. Yes.
Ow.
They're not even closed shoes. Really? Come on now.
High heels. The Transformers with high heels.
That's like every other female Transformer. But don't change.
Absolutely.
At least they got that right.
They didn't do RC.
Yet.
Yeah, where's the RC costume?
It's coming. It's a Toys R Us exclusive that won't be out in Canada. It'll be a motorcycle first.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. BRC costumes for guys.
That's right.
It's like this one long ankle length dress with no room to wiggle your legs.
I am pretty
just
in
one
pink.
Big unileg.
Wow. I could make a really bad tasteless joke right now, but I'm going to be good.
I'll make a few more tasteless jokes. Think of a few. No, I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna move on because
I like
you know
to
what?
Rev her engine.
as far as sexy Transformer costumes go, those that were actually somehow disappointing. I can't explain why, but Shibamura does it better. That's all I'm gonna say. High fives to my bro Shibbles. Peace out for life. I took care of your GoBot child at BotCon. The thing I'd like to bring up. There's a whole bunch of things I'd like to bring up. But I will say I would love to see Aaron Omegas and myself combine in RC costumes.
Okay, I'm canceling my BotCon ticket.
OMG. I'm just repeating things said in the textual version of our Skype chat here. If someone's going to say them, I'll do it. I mean, I'm not letting these things fly by. All right. Aaron gets to be the left arm, Omegas gets to be the right. It'll be good times.
So you're... No, I'm editing.
don't finish that.
That's right. I'm in the middle. You guys are the bread.
In the middle with you.
You guys are the bread. I am the filling. Lucky Pierre. Anyway, I'd like to choose a picture now. If all this sidetracking is out of the way.
Sorry I ever brought that up.
There is plenty to talk about here, but the one I'd like to highlight is a little bit more animated cheer. It seems that Takara Tomy is working on Optimus Prime and Bumblebee in a building blocks construction system. And apparently, the robot modes will have some articulation, and the figure will be able to actually transform slightly without very much part swapping. Now, here's the big thing. Their robot modes actually look like Optimus Prime and Bumblebee. And that is, like, a big marked improvement over a lot of built-to-rule. So, also looking at these, it seems that they're not made out of that many blocks, which means that they should hopefully actually be pretty affordable. And if they're, like, you know, $15, I'm a buy one of these. Someone said, oh no. Was that Lupus who said, oh no?
Huh?
Heard someone say, oh no.
Oh yeah, that was me.
Yeah.
Just, they make me groan.
Why? It's building blocks. It's fun times.
Because they're damn fugly.
Well, aside from that, they're building blocks.
They're fugly and they're not Lego. Because had Lego, I don't think that this is Lego.
No, this is not Lego. This is like Diablock or something. No, it is! Yeah. Oh my god, I just noticed in the katakana, it says Diablock. This is like the return of Diablock. Oh. This is Diablock! We're back! I'm jazz now. I want to buy these.
I just see these as future kibble for Plastic Addict.
These are not built to rule, all right? Look at that.
No, they look worse.
Oh, we'll see about that.
Look at that Prime shoulders, okay?
I'm looking at Bumblebee shoulders, and that's...
I'm looking at Bumblebee and having to fight some stuff back down.
Ignore Bumblebee. Let's all look at Optimus Prime.
I'm looking at Optimus Prime. His vehicle mode is horrendous. He looks like a shopping cart.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Put a little miniature Steve-O in there.
Don't look at his vehicle mode. All right. Let's look at Optimus Prime's robot mode. All right.
You mean on the left side of the picture, not the right side?
No, top right.
Because even on the left side, that's kind of bad perspective on him.
Top right of that picture.
Left cheek.
Top right, left cheek of that picture.
That doesn't even look like Optimus. It looks like Whirl.
Look at the shoulders. Look at the. Am I the only one seeing it?
We're now looking at one block.
Look at that shoulder. The shoulder on our right.
Yes, he looks like he could play football, but that's pretty much it.
That is Optimus Prime's shoulder. And thus, I am jazzed. You will not diminish my enthusiasm for the return of Diablock. Well,
that same shoulder is going to clip people standing on the sidewalk in vehicle mode.
Well, that's what they get. It's stylized.
It's one hell of a style.
Sure is. They said that about
something else that you're not catching.
That time, way back when.
Look, man, people thought David Bowie was weird. Guess what?
They still think he's weird.
Yeah. But
now he's the sovereign.
Exactly. So let's all learn a lesson from our preconceived notions. New pick picks, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed them. We've got another topic here of stuff that unfortunately has no pictures. And it's a bit of a shame because it has some extremely juicy information. The UK Toy Fair is once again happening before the US one. I think it happened before the US one last time.
Mm-hmm.
And someone looked through a window and saw a whole bunch of new Transformers. Now, we are probably not going to see photos of these because the last time someone took photos of a Hasbro product at the UK Toy Fair, the UK Toy Fair blew up the Hasbro room, in press terms. They basically shut it down. So, right now, what we know is that apparently there's a new ultra-sized Universe Sea Spray, new G1-themed Legends. Apparently WFC, War for Cybertron Prime, looks Voyager-sized. The Bumblebee was there as well. And there's some more info. Let me run through the bullet points. Sea Spray is a boat with room for scouts on his deck. And that jazzes me hardcore. Revenge of the Fallen's toy line name will be dropped from the packaging, and the line will just be branded Transformers, as we saw on CyberOps Bumblebee's package. Power Core Combiners is a subline of that Transformers brand that is the movie line. There's going to be 2-packs and 5-packs that can all be combined together. And apparently, one of the new Power Core 5-packs is Bruticus. It has, like, apparently a tank, a drill tank, another tank, and, like, a flying tank or something like that. There's also going to be new RPMs, including Drift. Drift the RPM. That's something I don't think I was expecting to say would exist. There's going to be an RPM Bumblebee track set, which I bet some of you guys are jazzed for. Uh-huh. And the RPM Stealth Force, which are vehicles with fold-out weaponry, so it sounds like Mask, which could be pretty cool. And apparently the UK may have Animated get phased back in late 2010, because I believe they missed out on a little bit of Animated. So this makes me very excited for the US Toy Fair, where pictures can actually be taken, as far as I know, on February 14th to 17th, 2010. I knew that date by heart, and I certainly didn't need someone to post it in the Skype chat. Let's run through your guys' accumulated thoughts. Let's begin with Aaron.
Okay, so Drift's getting an RPM. Is that the toy? Is that all the toy that he's getting, you think?
I hope so.
I'd make an educated guess that there's probably a little bit of a chance that Drift may, in fact, perhaps get a transforming toy of some sort in some subline that we can't really accurately guess at this time and place.
No, really, I think Seaspray having room for other toys on him is conceptually very interesting. Kind of goes back to Tidal Wave.
Mm-hmm.
From Armada Energon, because he had one that was like a hovercraft Chanel carrier that you could had like fold down seats for four minicons.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I wonder if it's actually really set up that way, or like they had a stack of toys on the table as they were putting everything together, and Seaspray was on the bottom and there were other toys on top.
The one thing that I kind of miss from a lot of Transformers right now is the idea of like Transformers whose vehicle modes can, like, in toy form, transport other Transformers. So, I'd be waiting for this.
It seems like they're getting back to more specific cross-toy interaction, which I think is a good way to enhance the product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Ironhide's guns going into other toys' hands, Mind Wipe and Sky Stalker, the Voyager and the Basic that kind of dock together, things like that. So I could really see Seaspray actually having space like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that you play with the toys with the toys, not just dudes standing on opposite sides of the room going pew 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 pew. It's more functional play.
Yeah.
Because I did make the big hand motions with two toys with the pew 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 pew.
Good man. Yeah, that's really exciting, especially because it's also another old G1 mini-bot whose new toy is actually the largest price point beneath Leader.
Yeah. Go big or go home.
Hell yeah! Lupus, some thoughts on the UK Toy Fair info.
Okay, I'm not too big on the RPMs, so that takes out a huge chunk of it. But I'm sorry, they're Hot Wheels cars.
But on the bottom of me. On the bottom of them.
I don't care.
You stand them up on the back and they transform. Come on.
Okay, first the giant ones that are in the same vein as Mask, it doesn't work unless you have a T-Bob character to go with it.
Legends Wheelie. Problem solved.
No, animated Bumblebee reference.
See, I wonder if, I mean, does the sounds like they don't transform is, see, that's the thing that I don't get, that they'd have something like fold-out weaponry and then not transform, especially
I think,
like, deluxe or Voyager size, because that's getting pretty hefty for something that's just going to have pop-out. I could see maybe something deluxe size that has flip-out weapons or whatnot, but, mm-hmm. I mean, we had that with, again, Energon, all the Decepticons, as line-wide gimmick was pop-out weaponry. So
I think the wording was like they don't transform Voyagers. Implied into robots, I think was probably the intent.
Well, right, but, I mean, if you're talking something Voyager-sized, that's a pretty hefty thing, and mm-hmm. I know that sometimes in lines like that you can get away with stuff, but I find it odd that they would have a line of something that big that's not just a track set, like the Bumblebee thing.
Well, maybe it'll have like the same parts count as a Voyager, but it'll all be flip-out weaponry. So the thing practically just transforms from a car into like a rolling gun.
Maybe. I can maybe see that.
The one thing that I am psyched about is definitely the giant Seaspray. I didn't think that they would be producing Seaspray. I think he would be in the same vein as Cosmos. But
I got a Cosmos right here.
Big.
Yes, but not like the big deluxe. And then, yay, combiners.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much my little quick mental run through.
You know what, President, I'm really happy about? If they've made an Ultra Power Glide and an Ultra Sea Spray, what if they are finally gearing towards Ultra Cosmos?
Oh, then kill the line, though.
It would. Yeah. Transformers on the whole line would
get canceled.
But would it be worth it? Yeah, you can't answer that question.
Silence!
Yes.
Would it be worth extincting the dolphins for mankind to live forever? Such is a similar question in Would It Be Worth Extincting Transformers for Ultra Cosmos? Because extinct is now a verb. Omegas, some thoughts on this list of info.
Well, like everyone else, I am excited for Sea Spray, though seeing yet another Ultra Mini-Bot return makes me feel bad for Warpath and Brawn and, you know, all of my... the ones I like better than, say, Sea Spray and Power Glide that are not getting anything this grand.
You heard Sea Spray's really feelings.
Cool. It sounds cool. Tidal Wave will finally have someone to pick on his own size.
Hell yeah!
That will be fun. I'm looking forward to the...
They'll play cards.
I'm looking forward to these Power Core combiners, the specifically the 5-packs, because the one that came up last week, which looks like some giant classics firebot, seemed to have some kind of chest peg that indicated that he might do something that we could see from the package.
And Huffer had a chest peg, too.
Ooh.
I believe. It was either a chest peg or a chest port. It was one of the two. But, yeah.
Oh, that could be fun.
But here's the thing. It says 2-packs and 5-packs can be combined together. Does this mean that we're basically getting a whole line of dudes who can all combine into five robot combiners? Like Scramble City Maximum Remix.
We're going Mugenbine with this.
I know! It's going to be so awesome. Imagine if you could, like, take the entire Power Core line and just, like, plug them all together into a giant humanoid shape.
You just asked for you to kill it.
Give me... I can't feel my 87
guys stacked
arms
on top of each other.
Yeah.
No, just the feet
so
would be begging
just like
for
the
death.
G12.
The RPM stuff, I'm assuming that this is going to be replacing the niche collectibles like the Robot Heroes, because those seem to be dead as of the end of Revenge of the Fallen.
Well, they said as much in a Q&A that Robot Heroes at this time is not continuing.
That makes me sad.
It wouldn't have made me sad, but now it does.
You know what it's like now.
Yeah. But you know what? Actually, I don't mind it, because that means I have a nice cutoff point on my checklist. So, near.
No, the rest of it's kind of neat. I will say this. If they give me this RPM stealth force, if they give me an Optimus Prime, the Voyager size, with all these big flip-out weapons, and they repaint it purple, I will buy it.
Excellent. Although, I believe that the mask truck was actually more of a ready velvet mauve.
Well, whatever.
Saying. Just throwing it out there.
You got the reference. Don't nitpick me.
That thing had its own roller, too. Came off the back. Yeah, that's the UK Toy Fair info, which is really just a preview for what I assume is going to be a pretty massive dominating force that will probably take up our entire podcast for 2 weeks, that being the US Toy Fair. I'm jazzed for it, though. Sounds like there's some cool stuff in the pipeline. And next up in our pipeline is an intermission! So let's do it!
Ironhide! I will extinguish your spark beneath my treads.
You know, I was sort of hoping it was you, Bludgeon. What's that human phrase?
Bring it!
We're back, and let me tell you, the iPad, all right? I've been told many reasons why the iPad could succeed, and I accept those, but at the same time, I'm sure that a lot of folks are feeling slight disappointment that Apple's long-toted new tablet computer is, in fact, just a giant iPod Touch. Gotta say, you know, Mac OS with Adobe Photoshop and a stylus, that would have been glorious, but apparently it's not to be. Slight off topic there, I'm sorry, guys. Keeping up with tech news at all? You got, any of you guys jazzed for the iPad?
Yeah, I saw that and saw too many different, it's the I time of month jokes, so.
I-menopause.
Well, after I-menopause, you don't need the iPad.
That's right. Oh!
The only problem is it's going to be your wallet that's bleeding for 3 days.
Those ones took me a while.
That was bad.
Well, that aside, let's talk about what we got this week to have a nice clean chapter start. We're going to talk about things we bought, and I want to hear about what you guys bought. So, Omegas, I want you to tell me what you bought.
You want to hear what I bought?
Tell me what you bought.
Ooh, very well. After putting it off for, how long has Revenge of the Fallen been out now?
I want to say 5 years, but really it's probably only been about 8 months.
It only feels like 5 years. That's just when you add up bumblebees.
Yeah.
Given that length of time, I finally decided, okay, I need the Starscream. So I went to the one store, the Kmart, that still had the Starscream, and why have I been putting this off for so long?
Because you're nuts.
People kept telling me that. I don't know. It's just like, I kept telling myself, I don't need it. It's okay. It's improved. It's a new mold, but you know, I've got the last one. I'm okay. It's fine. And now here I am 8 months later, and I don't even acknowledge the original one anymore.
Contrarian defiance, sir. It's exactly why you are going to order SH Figar's Rising Ixa.
No,
putting that on record on the show,
no.
By the way. Just need all of you listeners out there to help me peer pressure him.
Not gonna work.
This is easier.
You can do both.
Did I miss that memo?
Samurai Hayo is the one we gloat about. Rising Ixa is the one that we peer pressure for. Anyway, Omegas, you got Starscream.
He's nice. His entire chest spins around. I'm quite happy I got him.
Mm-hmm.
And on the same shopping trip, managed to find a dirge.
Ooh.
It was quite cool. His nipples spin, which is surprising.
Mine do that.
Yeah. He's got a big, closey clamp head. Found that hilarious somehow.
How would you rank him as a must-buy or possible-buy?
As a must-buy, possible-buy, he's probably an 8 out of 10.
Hmm.
He's a little scrawny for Deluxe, but otherwise, it's quite cool. I do like how everything that makes him a G1 Seeker kind of springs up in the last step of transformation.
Yeah, he's got Fanwank Automorph.
Apparently so. The same shopping trip. I hate when this happens. Go to the store. I'm looking for Bludgeon, despite my expressed disdain for that toy. I find Recon Ironhide sitting on the shelf. No Bludgeon.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that feeling, knowing it was there and now it is not.
It's because Bludgeon hates you. Mm-hmm.
Apparently so. It heard me.
Yeah, no. Voyager Starscream told Bludgeon all about your craziness. And Bludgeon's like, well, guess what? I'm going to wait 8 months.
Oh, damn you, Starscream. You failed me again.
Starscream's like, listen, this dude has some crazy contrarian defiance going on. And Bludgeon's all like, and like just decides not to show up on your shelves.
I hate that feeling. It's like, okay, if I'd been here a week ago, it'd be here, or like a day ago, or you know, like maybe a few minutes ago. Okay, I'm running around the store looking for a kid to bludgeon in the head.
Bludgeon was totally just up on the top shelf, peeking over. He's like, is it that? No, he's like, is it that guy? Ah! And waited till you left, and then just kind of swung down on his ninja rappel and just settled himself down nicely right next to Recon Ironhide.
Ah, well. I'll probably dig it up eventually. I end up going to the clearance aisle just to try and find some kind of consolation prize. I had a good laugh at the 30-odd Fear Swoops stacked up for $10 each.
Did you get one?
Going nowhere. No.
Oh.
Sorry.
Ten's not bad.
I mean, it's the price of the Scouts plus a free repaint.
Yeah.
No, I passed it up because right beside it was one of the last two Masterpiece Skywarps.
Oh, that's probably a better choice.
Was it a $30 one?
Here's the thing. I had never found a Masterpiece Skywarp. This is my first sighting of the thing, let alone to actually pick it up. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was marked down to $30 from $60. Went to ring it up, $20. I don't know how.
Not bad.
Oh my god, it's the best $20 I have ever spent in my life.
Yeah, and you didn't walk back and say, I'll be taking this one and this one.
Money was tight. I probably should have, just to hoard away like a squirrel in winter, but...
You just go like, hey, I was prepared to spend $60 on Skywarp. I'll buy three.
It'd be tricky, because there were only two.
You still buy... If you are brave enough, you still buy three.
it was an awesome... It's a nice story to tell. I got it for 20. And people hate me. Set my house on fire.
I got the Japanese one for 90, so I totally paid more. Ha, wait.
And I got a nice little box from Big Bad Toy Store, which had my own Recon Ironhide, which naturally I ordered, then found at the store.
Hooray!
Of course.
It is awesome. It is, if you've been passing on the Ironhide, if you only have the original, it is definitive. You have to have this thing. It's because he comes with as many guns as the Fans Project Bruticus, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
is an awesome remold. That is how a remold needs to be done every time. Mm-hmm. And going off topic, I'll be quick. For anyone that used to watch the MTV Oddities cartoons,
too
I picked
long!
Up the Max. I picked up the Max 2, and for $20, it is massive. It is very, very awesome, and he's currently brooding over a bunch of little is on my desk.
So is that by Shocker?
I believe. God, where's the little card?
Like, it's the same line that has Scud in it, right?
Yep, that's the one.
Okay. Does the toy still exist? Like, did it like when you got it home and you opened it up and you put it on your shelf? You should double check to make sure it's still there.
Looking at it right now, I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay, but keep an eye on it, alright? Because it's Shocker Toys, and sometimes those things just evaporate.
Mentally noted.
Just taking a little dig at you there, Shocker Toys. All in good fun. All in good fun. cool. Well, Lupus.
Aren't I still recovering from the last what I got this week?
Well, I'm hoping that you got less than 230 items this week.
You can continue from last time.
Yeah, because I don't think I put the full amount of the list in. But no, I've got nothing to really comment about this week. It's been a slow week, and I got a bunch of things that were a little bit higher of a priority than going shopping, unfortunately.
Well, what did you get that's higher priority? Or I guess really the question is, how is the paper going?
Oh, well, the paper is dead.
It's been stabbed.
But, yeah. I will say that I'm eyeing heavily getting back into Magic the Gathering, so I think that's where a good portion of my money is going to be going shortly.
Oh, no.
You know, I found out from someone who responded to one of my videos that there is a Magic the Gathering YouTube channel, like an official one, and they have things like battle reports and stuff.
Oh, God. I don't need any more distractions, though.
Like, you could watch, like, a world-level Magic tournament with, like, on-screen commentary and things.
Oh, that's...
Oh, you want it. I mean, it can. It's good background noise, right?
Yeah, sure. Uh-huh.
That's how it works. Aaron, you were whispering something mysteriously for a little while there.
No.
No what?
No. Magic the Gathering.
Why?
Because it used to be one of my addictions, and I fought it, and I got rid of it. And occasionally, yes, when I'm in my local gaming store for other things, I smell somebody open up a pack and go, no.
Aaron, you've got to come to PAX, because at PAX last year, they gave out boosters of the new Magic expansion in your goodie bag, and I have not even played Magic forever, but I had to open up the pack of cards just to, open up a pack of cards, and I was like, this is so cool.
You get that hit of the varnish on the paper.
Yep, and you slide them out, because you don't rip the pack open, you carefully open the top so you can slide them back in again afterwards.
Yep.
Good stuff.
My nose is itching just thinking of it, damn it.
Oh, quick, what did you get this week? It.
Okay, what I got this week. So last time around, I got a PlayStation 3. Got lambasted by a bunch of people that I know that I had no games for.
Last time around, I got a PS3. Bitches.
So, I went to get my hair cut, and right next to that, it was going to be like a half hour wait. Okay, whatever. First time ever I've been handed one of the, your seat will be ready pagers for a haircut at Great Clips. But.
Wow.
And so right next door to that, there was an EB Games. And so I went in and was wandering around for a little bit and saw the wall of pre-owned. Okay, well, I'm okay with pre-owned games as long as they're in good shape. And was kind of thumbing through everything and saw Fallout 3 Game of the Year Edition. And went, oh, I've heard a lot of people talk about this game. And since then, I've lost some 40 hours to the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm but halfway into it.
Yeah, I have not played it for several weeks, and I'm afraid to pick it up again, because every time I pick up Fallout 3, all of a sudden it's 8 hours later.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're, you have a 3-day growth of beard on your face, and the dogs are looking at you pathetically because nobody's fed them in a month, and you're wondering where the ghouls are.
Yeah, you're wondering where the friggin' surprise death claws are.
But very good game. Those are the type of role-playing games that I just lose time to. That's why Mass Effect 2 being out now, I am not looking at that thread on 2005. I'm not looking at any of it, at least until I'm done with Fallout or have done one playthrough, so that then I can go get Mass Effect 2 and install on my laptop and then lose, 90 hours to that game.
Here's the thing. I still have to play Mass Effect 1. I want to play Mass Effect 2. I still have to finish Fallout 3, and I got Seth Buzzard all up in my grill about play Mass Effect. It's like, dude, you go grow me another couple hours to play games, and I will go play Mass Effect.
But
I'm scared of Mass Effect now, even though people told me. People told me, you can play through Mass Effect in, 4 hours if you want. I'm like, yeah, I know I can play it through in 4 hours. Will I? Probably not. So I'm keeping a distance from it at the moment, a distance which is every time I go to sleep, I'm sleepwalking closer to the other side of that distance.
Yep, but as far as Transformers, all I've managed to pick up is the Nest Global Alliance 2-pack with Bumblebee and Soundwave. I've gone just so far as to open up the box to get to the pamphlet that goes with it and get the little sew-on badge that's actually an embroidered badge.
Ooh!
But, yes, it's only available to those of us that are in the United States. All requests have to be postmarked by April 30th, 2010. So, if you're listening to this much further in the future, you're screwed on getting your shiny kitty.
Yeah, Canadians, you want shiny Ravage. Come up with a battle plan. I'm thinking about it still. I don't know if I want to, but... Or so I thought. back to the podcast.
And then also you have to use the official redemption certificate that comes in it. And it also comes with one of the stickers. So really, all you have to do is pick up two more of the Nest toys. And then for $4.95. Can you guess how much? You can get yourself a shiny kitty in 3 to 8 months. And that's about the long and short of it. Bumblebee has more red on his cannons, and Soundwave is completely different colors. They're still in twist ties in the box, because like I said, I just got it this afternoon. I was up upstate out of town and saw a Toys R Us and tried to explain the whole situation of store exclusives and scalpers to my co-worker that was driving the vehicle, and got nothing but a hard time being a toy collector. He had a little bit of time to kill, so we stopped in there, and I did not see the ones that are giving me the real itch of RC, Cybertron, Ratchet.
Yeah, and if I could just put the call out there,
just even talking about it, I'm sitting here having to scratch my arm.
Yeah, if I could just mention again, like, I don't even know if those are coming out in Canada, so, you know, if any of you guys find those new animated toys, you know, let me know. Let me know. Sort something out. I'm itching, too. I'm actually scratching my veins on my left arm right now. Oh, damn, I'm bleeding. All right, well, I'm just going to keep scratching then. Makes the pain go away.
Yeah, but need those toys. Those two. But, no, I actually managed to spend like a half hour in my local Toys R Us talking to a very helpful gentleman there. He called up, like all the local Toys R Us's. Unfortunately, their stock system is open the truck doors, what did we get? That's their. That's as far ahead as they really know restock. They can order something, but generally when they order something, it has to be something that's a high-demand item, and generally if it's a high-demand item, it's already on the truck, so really ordering things is pointless.
It has to be Furbies. It has to be Tickle Me Elmo.
That's it for me.
Well, I bought some Transformers. I went to see Legion the other weekend, and I stopped by another London Drugs who had a similar $5 on Robot Heroes sale, and they had a lot more Robot Heroes than the first London Drugs I went to. Still mostly what I had, but there were two more Beast Wars 2-packs. So, you know, I thought, oh, $10, I'll just grab those. So I have a lot of Robot Heroes now. I got a couple things in the mail from Piaw. Piaw has been buying a whole lot of Macross Frontier, and he's trying to keep it, I believe, to one vehicle per character. So he bought the Alto VF-25 with all the armor, and he only wanted the armor because the Alto that comes with it is a kind of off pale blue jet, and he wanted the one that was stark white. So I bought the off-pale blue jet with no armor from him for about $78, and that's a pretty good deal considering how much the original Alto goes for. The armorless Alto is usually about $125 to $150. So he also threw in a stand, which really helped out. Let me tell you, this is a dead friggin' solid toy. I am really enjoying it. I also got some in the mail, which has a story behind it, and I'll just say it's Scareglow. 67 days later, Scareglow showed up with, now here's the thing, 67 days, and I had to pay $752 additional customs fees to pick him up. So,
is that what happened that got hung up in customs, or?
I have no idea. there was no tracking on it, so they, Maddie Collector's customer service, who sometimes call themselves the Microsoft Office online store customer service, couldn't really help me out that much. And, let me tell you, despite the fact that I paid $9 shipping, waited 67 days, and then paid basically another $8 customs fees, I still like Scareglow. I am very much colored by how long it took. And let me tell you, if you have the chance to pay, let's see, 20 plus 8 plus 8. So if you have the chance to pay $36 for Scareglow and wait 67 days to get it, no, he isn't worth it. But that aside, he is a very solid figure. And I'm going to see, I'm putting Maddie Collector on three strikes. If three times I go through a debacle like this, I am going to go to eBay, because eBay will either be cheaper, or it will be faster, or it will be both. Depends on if it takes 60 days every time, and if it takes $9, or $8 to $9 of custom fees every single time. And let me tell you, I looked at what they wrote on that friggin' customs form, and I'm really sure at the fact that, you know, most normal, sane people will put toy on a customs form if you're buying a toy. Not Mattel. No, they put action figure made in China, which is, you know, one of the most suspicious things to put on a custom form that I can think of. So naturally, it got, I don't even know what they must have been testing it on, but yeah, let's just say, Maddie Collector, you know, people complain about them. Guess what? My first impression with them is that they suck at what they do, and it's unfortunate that they are the only people who do what they do.
Well, it started out as a Skeletor figure, but it had been through the X-ray machine so many times, it just glows now.
Oh, God. 67 days! Like, that's unbelievable to me. And you know what else I found out? Here's another bit of Maddie Collector genius I found out about. So they farm out all of their customer service and all their online shipping and store stuff to Digital River. And then when I get this package, one reason why it confused me so much was not only the customs fee, but the fact that there was no return address on it until I look over the entire thing and I find a label from some third-party shipping service. So that means that Mattel makes and sells the toy, but they get someone else to sell the toys and do customer service, and that second entity gets a third entity to ship the toys out. So when you have three separate companies involved in selling and shipping your toys, it's not very hard for that many hands in the pot to cause miscommunications to happen. So, I am now one of those people who makes fun of Maddie despite giving them money because they do suck at what they do. I will say I've only had the one experience so far. I have two more experiences paid for that we'll find out about. But first impressions, guys, they do make quite an impact. And let me tell you, not a very good first impression on Maddie Collector. We'll see what happens with future things. But it's just amazing how it feels like buying from the source is the crappy way to go about things. It's unbelievable to me in 2010 that I would be in that position. But that has nothing to do with Transformers because, thank goodness, Transformers aren't made by Mattel. So we'll just put that aside. And let's go into our listener question. Now, we had a listener question that I had queued up from DragonLord2200. The thing was, I went to his YouTube link, and it said that the video had been deleted. So we can't actually do that question, because I don't know what it is anymore. So instead, we're going to do a question from Tetimus Prime, who sent it in text form. And it says, quote, "Hey, WTF at TFW podcasters, it is 2010 already, and much speculation about the upcoming Transformers show has been floating around. Aside from storyline and expectations for the show, I was wondering what animation style you would like to see the future installment of our franchise." I'm guessing in. "What would you like to see, that being cartoon or computer animated, and why? Personally, I would like to see Transformers done in a more recent robot anime styles, such as Code Geass and Gurren Lagann." So, Aaron, give me a response to that question. Preferably in an interesting voice.
Probably what?
In an interesting voice.
I don't have any interesting
voice. Damn it!
What style would I like to see? Style is not the same as form to me. Let's see, what style? I could see, like, a Beast Wars CGI. Doesn't have to be super pop. See, these are the questions that always get me. It's not yes, no, black, white, true, false. It's what do you think?
You've got to actually, give a sentence-long answer.
Huh?
You've got to give a sentence-long answer. There's no binary here.
Yeah. I'll say Beast Wars-style CG animation.
Alrighty. And by extension, Beast Machines?
Well, I don't know about the explosions and whatnot in Beast Machines. Although that's a style thing, not a type.
They had shadows in Beast Machines.
Yes. But they also had those weird, fruity explosion things.
Play-Doh explosions.
Play-Doh explosions, yeah. I was trying to think of one of the things for it, and all I could think of was, the Fruit Loops cup, or the Trix yogurt cups things.
Alright. Lupus, how do you answer the question?
I would say an amalgamation of 2D and 3D. Not like we had with Galaxy Force, although I wasn't opposed to that, but something that is 2D but done on computers with 3D graphics.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to Code Geass and everything else from Sumbo Animation, things like that. Is it Sumbo? Or
oh no, Code Geass is Clamp.
I know. Clamp did the original character designs, but I mean,
they did
the animation studio.
Oh. I always assumed Clamp was the studio.
Nope, they're the actual.
Oh, then it would be Sunrise, not Sunbow.
Yeah, my apologies. But yeah, Sunrise.
Alrighty.
See, you corrected him and you knocked him over.
I'm sorry.
The DS Omega's. Went flying.
Oh.
That's why I lost six. Okay.
Omegas, how do you answer the question?
Well, to be honest, I'm trying to think of some time when we just had like a normal animated series for Transformers since the original, and we really haven't. Like, it's always been computer generated, and then it's an anime, and then it's a hybrid CG anime, and then we went to the stylized cartoon that was animated. And really, when you mentioned like Gurren Lagann, I thought there was a lot of Gurren Lagann-esque style to that series. I think we've already been there. What I'd really like to see is a lot of modern cartoons, like Wolverine and the X-Men, Avatar, The Last Airbender. There've been very good darker animation styles that have been done, and especially with the way Transformers is going now, especially with the movie being so prevalent, I'd like to see something like that, you know, where it doesn't have to be overly stylized. It can be well animated and still very, very much Transformers, you know, with a somewhat darker tone to the style of it.
Yeah.
I think we've really gotten to the point where it's been long enough since the original, we can do normal animation again, and animation these days is good enough to where it'll look right, and, you know, color palettes won't be switching between characters randomly.
It won't be farmed out to those Korean studios.
Exactly.
Alright, cool. My own answer would be I would love to see a show done in a hand-drawn animation style that is stylistically akin to the work of Nick Rosh. That is what I'd like to see in a cartoon, because Nick Rosh's work, I believe, would lend itself very well to animation. So do that. Go and learn how to draw like Nick Rosh, and then pay Nick Rosh lots of money, and then do cartoons that look like they were drawn by an army of Nick Rosh's. That is what I'd like to see. And here's the thing. What do you think about the visual of a giant clone army of Nick Rosh's in Korea? Because I think that'd be wicked. So, listeners, in the thread, please post your thoughts on what you think a giant clone army of Nick Rosh would be like, and whether or not you'd want to hang out with them at Christmas. Personally, I would hang out with them every day of the week. And I hope that answered your question, Dragon Lord 2200. No, wait, you're the one whose video didn't exist. I hope that answered your question, Tenemus Prime. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that is our show, unless I missed something. Any of you guys have something you wanted to throw in?
I think I'm good.
Yeah, I think we handled it pretty well. Oh, no, wait, let me see if a news story popped up during the show.
But so I can say that we don't have time to do it and then do it next week?
Exactly. That's how you pull in the listeners.
Oh, Cyber Missions. Actually, I think every time the Cyber Missions come up, I should say, like, hey, there's new Cyber Missions. Anyway, we'll talk about them later. okay.
Oh my god, this is so cool. Next time.
Next time on Who's Pregnant? Find out next time on WTF at TFW. Until then, good night, everybody.
It means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.